I just want to mention briefly today. Today is Chof Aleph Sivan. We are a day late. Yesterday was a very, very, very important day in the calendar. The calendar was Chof Sivan. Chof Sivan traditionally was observed as a tainis with slichos, and the truth is, it was observed. There were two different kufos in Klal Yisrael when this day was selected to serve as a day of tefillah, reflection, slicha. The first took place in the year 1171. It was during the time of Rabbeinu Tam, in the year Tof Kuf Lamid Aleph. 845 years ago, there was a terrible blood libel in France. I'm not sure if I could pronounce it in Blau. If you pronounce it Blau. Blois. Bilou. Bilou. B-L-O-I-S. Blois. Bilou. Blois. Okay, in France there was a blood libel. Someone was accused of killing a child. And of course it wasn't true. And this resulted in the death of 31 Talmidei Chacham, 31 Rabbanim, 31 very holy people. And tradition has is that when they were beaten, they were tortured, and they were thrown into a fire, and their bodies did not burn. It was a Nes Min HaShemayim. It was Sreifas Nishmasan V'Gufam Kayim. They died, but their bodies did not burn, and the Goyim in France were astounded, were in shock, at how could it be that their bodies did not burn. Any event, this was a tremendous tragedy. This came not that long after, about 100 years after, 1096. 1096, we all know, was the Gzeris of Tatnu. Tatnu was the year, the Hebrew year equivalent of 1096. And in that year, that was the beginning of the First Crusade. But that the First Crusade was observed more, was the focus of the observing the First Crusade was focused more on the beginning of Chodesh Sivan. And the Kinas, we mentioned that it happened at the end of Chodesh Iyar, the 20th. There were three main events that began the First Crusade: the 23rd day of Iyar, Rosh Chodesh Sivan, and the third day of Sivan. And it was the custom, I think the main custom, it appears from what it says over here in the Simcha, Moadim L'Simcha, to observe a Tainis on Rosh Chodesh Sivan, to observe Tatnu. The interesting Rosh Chodesh Sivan is a day, a Rosh Chodesh, we generally do not say Slichos, we do not fast. Yet it was the custom that this was the exception, even though it was Rosh Chodesh, they would fast. Some records record that they did not fast the entire day out of respect for Rosh Chodesh, but at least they did fast for part of the day, and they will recite special slichos. This is just an aside. The slichos that they recite were called zultos. Does anyone know why it was called zultos? Zultos is a slicha that you say before you begin Ezras Avoseinu. Yes. The last part of the Nusach HaTfil is before you begin Ezra. Ein Elohim Zulasecha. So from the word Zulasecha, that's where they would insert slichos. And those slichos were called Zultos, from the word Zulasecha, from the place where it was inserted. Just like we have Yotzros. Why are Yotzros called Yotzros? Because traditionally, the place where you say these piyutim is in the bracha of Yotzer Or Uvarei Choshech. And then there are kurvos. What are kurvos? Kurvos is korov. It means it's towards the beginning of Shemoneh Esrei. Korov. Lashon of what? That's Kravitz. Kravitz. Kravitz is Rashi Taveis. Kol Rina v'Yeshua b'Yolei Tzadikim. But it's called Kurvos. Kurvos, it means it's korov. What is it korov to? It's korov to the beginning of Shemoneh Esrei, the beginning of the first brachas of Avos and Chayimes Mata Kodesh. It's korov to the beginning. But here we have a new category of piyutim called zultos. Zultos, it was said right before you begin Ezra Savosenu, right after you say Ein Elohim Zulasecha. Zulasecha, and that became the Zultos. So this was really said in Rosh Chodesh Sivan. Rosh Chodesh Sivan to commemorate the tragedy of the First Crusade. But then later in the year 1173, after this horror of what happened to these 31 tzaddikim in Blois, France, it became the minhag on the 20th day of Sivan to observe a day of tainis and Torah in Klal Yisrael. Now jump ahead. Now, it's not clear for how long this tainis was observed, because over time, 1171, over time it could be that the people did not observe this day to the same intensity. However, in the year 1649, which is known as Tach V'Tat, in those years, it was the horrible tragedy of the different ways to pronounce it, the Chmelnytsky massacres or the Chmelnytsky. There are different ways to pronounce it, the Yiddish way and the second way, Chmelnytsky, Chmelnytsky. And the estimate, this took place, of course, in Poland. There were a number of Jewish communities. The truth is, this, even though the main horror took place during the 2 years of 1648 and 1649, the truth is the horror went on for 12 years. All the dust did not settle for a total of 12 years. There are different estimates. It's not known exactly how many people were killed. There are different estimates. The estimates go from the number 10,000 to the number 500,000. It's a very big number. It's a very big number to figure out what exactly how many people were killed during this 12-year period. Interesting that in the year the beginning, the first tragedy took place on the 20th day of Sivan, and it's very bizarre. It's very hashkacha that the 20th day of Sivan, when the first tragedy in Nemirov was the big city in Poland. It was how do you pronounce it?
Nemirov.
Nemirov was the first. That was the first of many. Approximately, the estimates between 300 to 700 communities were affected by the gezeros that began in 1648. And it went on for 12 years. The main gezeros came to an end after 2 years when the Polish government, they defeated the Kazakhs and Chmelnytsky was defeated, and there was some restoration of order. But the truth is, the horrors and the pogroms went on for another 10 years, and the total of, it's hard to imagine, 700 communities. Okay, the communities were not all like a New York City. But nevertheless, there were 700 towns, and there were many people who died. The estimates were between the number, again, 10,000 to 500,000. And being that Chazal have a principle of Aschalta de Paranusa, we have a principle that Aschal de Paranusa, that when we commemorate tragedy, we commemorate the beginning of Aschal de Paranus, just like on Tisha B'Av, the Beis Hamidrash burnt on the 10th day, but being that the Beis Hamikdash began to burn on the 9th day, so we commemorate Tisha B'Av on the 9th day. Likewise, it was decided by the Shach and the Vad Arba Arotzos. There was a Vad of four major cities where they decided that they should commemorate the tragedy on the 20th day of Sivan. And numerous... What?
If the Moravim were actually set that also...
On the 20th day of... I didn't see that anywhere.
That this period also, today the Marshal is... some people have a cheshbon that it's the days that they... That Miriam was at Sarah and the Eidah was supposed to move.
Today, the 21st day?
Yeah, they were supposed to move and they didn't...
On the 21st day, interesting. Okay, but this has become... So that one of the very big questions is, it seems... The Vad Arba Arotzos was Goizer. Everyone should observe the 20th day of Sivan as a Tainus. What happened? How come today we forgot about this? Why did this appear? So the common answer is that this has been eclipsed by the Holocaust. That indeed, until the time of the Holocaust, there are records that indeed this was a very serious day, this was observed very seriously. But after the Holocaust, after 6 million people plus, and the whole Klal Yisrael was completely... thrown, it was completely destroyed, I mean, significantly destroyed, this became minor relative to the Holocaust. What does remain a very big mystery is that after the Holocaust, there was a question, should a day be observed to commemorate the Holocaust? And, I mean, there was a movement, a secular movement, that there should be a day of commemoration. But there's also a movement among the religious, among the Orthodox community. And the response by the secular community, they have a Yom HaShoah. I mean, that's Yom HaShoah has an entire history to it of itself. It's very bizarre. Some of the days that they really wanted to select originally to be the day of commemoration, I think Pesach. Right, I think that was the original day. The state of Israel wanted to set aside the day of Pesach, the first day of Pesach, to a day to commemorate the Holocaust. Obviously, from our perspective, that's not a very good day to use. There are other days. There's a whole give and take. There's a whole history. You can look it up exactly how it all worked out. But Yom HaShoah is in Chodesh Nisan. Which day is in Nisan? Is it? And that for us is a very big problem because Nisan is a day when you're not allowed to have Hesped V'tainis, so it appears that it was not done with the religious community in mind. However, among the religious community, there was a very big question, why don't we select a day to commemorate the Holocaust? So indeed, what I've read is that the day that was really what some people pushed for was Asara B'Teves. Asara B'Teves should also be included in the day that we commemorate the Holocaust. But the Gedolei Yisrael, Shemipim Anu Chayin, rejected this approach, quoting what it says in the Kinos, that we today are not on a level to go and set aside special days. Every tzara is rooted in Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is a day which captures the Churban, the tzaras of Klal Yisrael, and every tzara is Nichlal L'Churban Beis HaMikdash, and therefore, indeed, that's why many of us say Kinos on Tisha B'Av to commemorate the Holocaust. But what's very interesting is that answer was not given with regard to the Khmelnytsky massacres, because the Khmelnytsky massacres took place on the beginning of Nemirov, took place on the 20th day of Sivan, and indeed it really goes back to before the time of Rabbeinu Tam, at the time when the 31 people were killed in the year 1171, and this day was instituted as a day that the entire Klal Yisrael should commemorate as a day of Churban. So there, that answer was not given. So this is always a question you see asked, what's the difference between the Holocaust and Khmelnytsky massacres? Khmelnytsky massacres, a day was selected. A day indeed was selected. But the Holocaust, a day was not selected and relied upon Tisha B'Av. The only answer I saw is that if you study the history of the Vat Arba Rotzos, it was not for the entire Klal Yisrael. It was only for Poland, only for the region. It was not a tainus for the entire world. And therefore, if you want to make a date to commemorate a tzara for a segment, for a group of people, that's something which has many sources. Every community, Rachman Lutzton, on days, there are many different hagim in Worms, in Mainz, in all these different cities where tragedies occur on those specific days. They have minhagim to do things on certain days. Even, for example, in Krakow. In Krakow, there's a very interesting minhag that on Simchas Torah, they say slichos for a tragedy that was part of the aftermath of the Khmelnytsky massacres. They came to Krakow and there was a pogrom on Simchas Torah, and therefore Ad Hayom Hazeh in Krakow the minig is the korban happened in the fourth Hakofa on Simchas Torah, and therefore Ad Hayom Hazeh the minig there is they only have 3.5 Hakofas. They have a third Hakofa, they begin the fourth Hakofa, and in the beginning of the fourth Hakofa they stop and everyone sits down on the ground to commemorate on Simchas Torah. And it's a pella, how can you go do something in Yom Simchas Seinu V'Yisach Sanech? That's what they did. And their biggest Gedolei Yisrael, they participated. It was a terrible thing, and they commemorated on. So therefore, this appears to be the only answer, that when there was a gzera that was only on a segment of Klal Yisrael, then there's such a thing as commemorating a specific day. But it comes to emphasize that the Holocaust, how much greater the Holocaust was. The Holocaust wasn't just on a segment, it was on the entire Klal Yisrael, and therefore the Gedolei Yisrael have insisted that we do not set aside a special day, but instead we use Tisha B'Av as day to commemorate the Korban. Initially, I once heard a very interesting lecture from Rabbi J.J. Schachter, and he mentioned that if there would be a day, let's say there would be a day to commemorate the Holocaust, what day would it be? He says definitely it would be Kristallnacht. Because Kristallnacht, according to all, most historians, was the Haskalah of the Holocaust, and it's a davar pashut that all of these things that we commemorate, it's always Haskulei Peranusa, that we focus on the Haskalah of Peranus, and that would be, even if you don't commemorate with Slichos, his approach was, his message was, that even though we may not say Slichos, and we may not fast, but at least it's very worthy to go to some type of commemoration on Kristallnacht, because that, to some degree, is the Haskalah, is recognized by historians.
The people in Poland didn't believe it,
but in effect, the bottom line is, in hindsight, that was the Haskalah for the whole world. In hindsight, that was the day that set into motion in terrible tragedy. Now he. So we're now living in a tkufa. I just want to point out, so we're now really in a tkufa of three major historical tragedies. That's what the Mepharshim say. This tkufa during the year begins the tkufa of Tatnu, of what took place with the beginning of Chodesh Sivan, the end of Chodesh Iyar, the beginning of Chodesh Sivan, and then came, that was in the year 1096, 1171 was Chof Sivan, the tragedy, the blood libel in France that affected the entire France, and Rabbeinu Tam instituted a day of memorial on the 20th day of Sivan, and then more recently in the year 1648 and 1649 is the Gezeres of Tach V'Tach. These three things are three things which the Mepharshim point out, they come together and have all been wrapped up to some degree in the tainus of Chaf Sivan. So it's a very significant day, and for some reason it's almost totally forgotten. The day passed yesterday, most people don't even realize that it was Chaf Sivan, and this day was a day that was soaked with blood. If you read some, I have over here a sefer, over here this is a really collection of all of many of the kinois, Gezeres Tach V'Tat. It's a collection of what the Shach and the Taz, they composed kinos, they wrote a history, other people who lived through, Rabbi Nossa Nota Hanover, he actually lived through many of the horrors he saw firsthand, and this sefer is a collection of all of the writings of the time from the Gedolei Yisrael, and the horrors are off the charts. You can't even, it's the horrors that took place during Tach V'Tat make the Holocaust look like child's play almost.
I think the desire that Yatifel said about not speaking in shul.
So that's a very controversial thing to say.
It's also tied to Tach
V'Tat. Why did it happen? Okay, that's a very explosive thing to say. One point I did see which made an impression on me, and that impression is that the horrors that happened are just unbelievable. We have English translations of what it says. See what they did to the men, the women, and children. The most gruesome, barbaric, torturous death that can be imagined, and also how they took delight in using objects of Kodesh and using them as instruments to kill. For example, they deliberately used the mikvos. They would take all the children, the babies, and what would they do? They would drown them by drowning them where? In the mikvah. That's what they selected in order to terrify the parents. I mean, the stories go on and on. I can't even. It's hard. But one thing that is discussed. This is something which is discussed. People who make a mistake, they think that this horror had nothing to do with anti-Semitism. That's a very big toss. You'll read this online. Is that the reason why they did this? There's an uprising. There was an uprising. It was revenge. The Jews were in control. The Jews were the landowners. And they had power. They were wealthy. There was jealousy. And the Kazakhs, they wanted to take out their anger against their masters. And it wasn't necessarily a religious persecution. That is 100% false. You'll read about that. That itself is a blood libel. Halacha biyadeinu Esav sone Yaakov. They used that as an excuse to attack Klal Yisrael, but the inner sinna was Esav sone Yaakov, and it was seen in the barbarism and the horrors they did in religious persecution. And one other point mentioned is very interesting about this is that some of the Mepharshim mentioned you shouldn't just focus, when you focus on Tachvatat, the Holocaust, the Crusades, and the Gezerah of 1171, Tuf Kuf Lamed Aleph, don't just focus on the tragedy. There was an incredible heroism that took place during this time, where people were given the choice to convert, especially in the Tachvatat, you have to read all the stories in detail. They were given an opportunity, if you convert to Christianity, or you will abandon the Torah, we will let you live, or at least we won't torture you to death. We will spare you, we'll spare your child. And the stories of how Klal Yisrael were only been a soyun, and they refused to budge one iota, to give up any mashu of yadus to their enemies, is just awe inspiring. And part of the zikaron of this of Chaf Sivan is not just to focus on the tragedy, but adarabba, to focus on the heroism, the courage, the mesiras nefesh. I mean, I always wonder, you know, what would have been if we would have been there? How would have we have been? You read these stories of people that were given certain choices. Like, what would have we have done? Would we be able to be oymed in the nesionos of these people? And it's really very frightening. Very frightening to think what they went through. And yet they went through with courage, mesiras nefesh. And at least this, we're not today on the level where we relish in mourning over Chorban. We somehow conveniently choose just never happened, just forget about it. It's totally wrong, obviously, but at least something that we should learn from is the courage, heroism, Mesiras Nefesh should be an inspiration that we have it so easy, we should at least cherish what the gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us.
But Nachum of Breslov insisted that he be buried in Nuam because this was a cemetery. From Tachvatat there were over 40,000. They dug a pit and they threw him in. So all of Uman,
the whole place is blood.
All the cemetery.
Blood.
And people don't emphasize it.
Well, I didn't go there.
Huh?
Okay, we'll stop here.